You have your Bibles this morning. I want to ask that you would turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2 verses 10 through 16. Have you noticed we live in a world today, it's easy to steal someone's identity? Brad could easily steal my identity, except for one thing: he's not as handsome as I am. But we have the same name, and it really isn't so much in having the same name the way people steal identities today. It's really a matter of them just wanting to get something that really shouldn't belong to them anyway, and they want to use your information in order to do that. Let me give you a quick example. Tracy and I had never been to Virginia before, and never lived there, nothing like that, but there was someone that had used my information on my on our credit score that said that we lived in Virginia and that we had some issues there one time. Well, they had taken our identity and they had used it and it had messed some things up. And so we were able to catch that and we were able to get that taken care of. We wrote a letter, we sent it in to the credit bureau in order for them to be able to take that off because it wasn't us. No one in Virginia except Brian Ray, who is the pastor of Alexandria Baptist Church. You know Brian, he came and preached a revival here for us. And so people are apt to steal information in order that they might purchase something under false pretenses. You've seen that commercial where this guy, he goes into Sears or JCPenney and he goes up to the counter with some clothes and he lays them there on the counter and this lady says, "Would you like to open a charge card with us today?" And the lady, the gentleman looks at her and he says, "You read my mind." And then he puts down information that a new different name and all of the information there that really isn't him. And so today, as we look into the Word of God, I want you to understand that the world that we live in, that there are many who would claim to be someone that they really aren't. That there are many who would claim to be Christ followers who really aren't. They want to carry the name of a Christian, but in reality, they're counterfeit. We've talked so many times about false teachers. We've spoken about counterfeit Christians and try always to give you an idea of how to tell if they're real. And the way that you tell if they're real or they're fake is to be able to put a real Christian next to them and see how the real Christian lives their lives. See and listen to the words that the real Christian says. That's how you know if someone is a counterfeit. That's how you know if someone is a believer, based on their actions, based on their words. And so this morning, as we look into the Word of God, as we're continuing to work our way through 2 Peter, you know, 2 Peter chapter 2 is all about the false teacher and the false prophet and the fake Christian. And so this morning, I want to share four things with you concerning the Word of God to help you identify these thieves, to help you identify these men and women who come into the church and who claim to be someone that they aren't, so that we know whether they're real or not. And prayerfully, by the end of the service, you'll be able to take the Word of God and apply that to your own life to ensure that you are not someone who claims to be a child of God, but in reality you really aren't. So with that, I want to ask that you would honor God by standing at the reading of His Word, 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 10 through 16. Back up with me, if you will, to verse 9, and let's start there. It says, "Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment." Verse 10, "And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lusts of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous and self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries as angels. Whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. But these, like natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to cruise in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, cruising in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practice and are accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, this morning, blessed Lord, as we look into your word, I pray that we'd be able to take your word, that we'd be able to apply it to our lives, that we would be able to see through your word that there are those who sneak in, who sit down, who eat supper with us, who eat meals together with us, who really don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, even though they pretend to. And Father, what we pray as we look into the Word of God this morning, that we would ask you to convict us, Lord, if we might be that individual who believes that we're saved, but really we are not. Father, I pray this morning that you would speak to us in such a mighty way that we would understand where we stand with you. That we would know for sure that we are truly a man or a woman or a child who loves Jesus with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Father, that we live to bring honor and glory to you, even though sometimes, yes, we may fall into sin. Lord, help us to realize the importance of not walking in it or living in it on a regular daily basis. So, Father, today we ask that you would help us to be able to identify these, that you would help us to be able to know who they are. And, Lord, especially if it's us, speak to our hearts that we might turn from our sinful, wicked ways and turn to you. We ask these things today in Jesus' name. Amen. We've got just a few more messages as we work our way through 2 Peter. I enjoy going through books of the Bible, you know, because it helps us to learn more about the Word of God in this particular instance. What was Peter writing to the church? What was going on in the church during Peter's life that he needed to address it with men and women who had already trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior? What were these things that were taking place in the church? And so to help them understand what was going on, he would write them a letter as the Spirit of God would move them, would move the authors of the Word of God. God would move them in such a way that they would write the word that you and I have before us today. They would use the personality of the individual, God would, but he would write exactly what God desired him to write because the church needed to be edified. The church needed to learn how to pay attention in certain instances, in certain situations, and that's the very reason that you and I have the Word of God before us today, is so that you and I can take the Word of God and apply it to our lives in such a way that when we live our lives, we live it in such a way that is well-pleasing to God. And so this morning, as we look into the Word of God, I want you to know that there are those who would claim to be someone that they aren't. Would you agree with that this morning, church? Would you agree with that, amen or oh me? You agree that there are those who claim to be Christians that really aren't? You know, we have a bad rap sometimes as Baptists, because when people walk the aisle and they say that they've trusted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, we receive that. Amen? We do. But here's the thing. Their relationship with God is strictly between them and the Lord. And we trust that what they tell us is true. When they say that they have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you and I trust that they have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But let me share this. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, it talks about this amazing thing. As Jesus was just concluding his message on the Sermon on the Mount, this is what he said. He said, "Watch out for these false prophets, for they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravaging wolves, ferocious wolves." And then he goes on to say this, "By their fruits you'll recognize them." And so if you want to know whether someone sitting beside you is a child of God or not, approach it in a manner of trying to figure out if they're fruit bearers or not. Are they bearing fruit in their lives? When they live their life, do you see Jesus in them? And so my prayer today is that as we go through the Word of God, that you realize, yes, that first of all, you do belong to Jesus Christ, that He is your Lord and Savior. But secondly is this, that when people look at you as a man or a woman who claims to be a Christ follower, when people look at you, when you look at me, the ultimate goal is for people to see Jesus in you. And so, do people see Jesus in you? That's the question. And so prayerfully, we'll be able to answer that today. The first thing that I want to submit to you this morning is found in verses 10 through 12. Those who are identity thieves, those who would claim to be Christ-following men and women, those who have confessed Jesus publicly as their Lord and Savior even. I want to tell you, there are many that it's just about stealing an identity. Many are claiming to be something or someone that they aren't. And so, first of all, how we spot these, how we know is they blaspheme heavenly beings. Look at verses 10 and following, if you will. It says, and especially you, as we read verse 9 just a few minutes ago, what you begin to realize is it's all interconnected, right? We just concluded our message last week, talked about God's personal search and rescue plan, how he come into the world, how his greatest desire is to save souls. We know that about God. And so what we've seen is, as we entered into verse 9, it says the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. But listen what it goes on and says, but also to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Now verse 10 says this, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. So there it is right there. These people who are frauds, who are fraudulent Christians, if I can say that, these men and women and who truly claim to be children of God, they're not if they continue to live in the lusts of the flesh. And the Word of God is clear about that. It says, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lusts of uncleanness. And so we recognize them by the way they live their lives, by the way they speak, by the way that they walk. We're able to recognize them as men and women who love Jesus or men and women who don't love Jesus based on the way they live their lives. Are you a fruit bearer or are you not a fruit bearer? As a Christian, you have to be able to answer that question. As a man or woman who loves Jesus, you have to be able to answer that question. And so let me give you the first point is that these who are really not followers of Christ, they blaspheme heavenly beings. And it says, especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lusts of uncleanness and they despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil against dignitaries, whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, they speak evil of things that they do not understand. Do you understand? Do you realize what blasphemy is? It's really a sin of the tongue. Do you know that? That's what blasphemy is. It's a sin of the tongue. And blasphemy is something that is committed by the things that you and I say. Blasphemy is saying something irreverent against someone or something that is holy, someone that has been set apart by God, someone that has been sanctified by God. That's what blasphemy is. And then especially, let me say this, to say those things about God Himself. That's what blasphemy is all about. And so it's about speaking evil against these things and these pretenders, these who have taken an identity that really isn't theirs but claiming that it is. They're living their lives in such a way that right here in front of you, they're doing one thing, but when they're away from the church as a whole, they're saying something completely different, something completely false, something that would help us to recognize who they are, whether they really love Jesus or not. And so that's what these do. They blaspheme heavenly beings. They speak evil against things that they do not understand. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever heard someone say that GD word? Doesn't that just make your skin crawl? Let me ask you this. Doesn't it make you mad? Really, what it makes me want to do is just get in the flesh myself, go over there and smack teeth out of their mouth. I'm just being honest. But then, here's what would happen is I really wouldn't be any better than they are, would I? Because then I would be walking in the flesh. I would be walking in the flesh, and that's not what God has called me to do. God has called me to love those who really may not see things the way that you and I see things. Because the goal is that we're able to love them to Jesus. Right? But sometimes it's hard to do, isn't it? And so you hear these people and they say GD. And let me say this. Anytime you use God's word in vain, it's blasphemy. Anytime that you say God plus anything else that's irreverent, that it's blasphemy, that's sin against God. And I'm going to tell you, the man or woman that loves Jesus Christ shouldn't be a part of their vocabulary at all. What about this? You hear people all the time, Jesus Christ. Have you heard that? They're using God's name as a cuss word ultimately. That's what they're doing. And so I need you to be able to recognize that, because maybe you're guilty of saying maybe Jesus Christ yourself in a way that really isn't reverent, that really isn't God-honoring. And if that's you, then you need to be aware of that, because you need to change the way that you're using the name of Jesus. And so these who've infiltrated the church, these who are proclaiming to be Christians, they're really, what they're doing is they're just false Christians in disguise. They're not living their life to the glory of God. And ultimately what they do is they blaspheme the things of God. They blaspheme God and the things of God. And it says, talking about these dignitaries, also the holy angels. But then it said this, that the holy angels don't even bring an accusation against those individuals. The angels of God, these creatures that God has created for His work and to serve Him, they don't even bring a reviling accusation against those who are blaspheming the angels themselves and God. They're not doing it. And if they're not doing it, then why should you and I be those who are blaspheming? Why would we do something like that? This is what Matthew says of those who... He taught this in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 through 36. These were speaking, it was filthy talk, and ultimately the root of it was their heart. And so this is what Jesus said. He said, "Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good pleasures of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth evil things." Ultimately, what I'm saying is this, that your speech reveals the content of your heart, doesn't it? So, what is your speech like? How is your vocabulary when you're not at church? What are some of the things that you say? How do you talk when you're not here? How do you talk when you're not with men and women worshiping our Lord and Savior together? How do you talk? Well, I want to say that really not too many of us are going to cuss at church anyway, are we? But let me say this. A sin is a sin. It don't matter if you do it at church or if you do it outside the church. A lie is a lie. It don't matter if you tell it at church or if you tell it outside the church. And ugly talk is ugly talk. It doesn't matter if you do it at church or outside the church. Listen to me. God sees it and hears it just the same. So you've got to know that. And so we can identify these if they are blaspheming heavenly beings, if they're blaspheming things that they don't understand. The second thing this morning is this. They behave like wild animals. Oh me. That's not an amen. That's an oh me, right? because I know that I've been guilty of that sometime. I've been guilty of just being a knucklehead. I've been guilty of this, and I want you to know that I can acknowledge that I've been guilty of this, but here's the thing, I don't live in it. Here's the thing, you don't live in it, right? And so that has to be the point of this. But these who are false, these who have stolen an identity, who claim to be a Christian, they carry the tag. That's why I don't use Christian very much. I say you're a Christ follower. Because a Christ follower is going to be someone who on a regular basis lives their lives to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. Amen? And so it's important for us to be able to distinguish, because we use the word Christian so loosely today. And you need to know who you are. But they behave like wild animals. Verse 12 says this, but these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, they speak evil of things that they don't understand and will utterly perish in their own corruption. Friends, you know it's a jungle out there, isn't it? You ever heard the world's going to the dogs? You ever said that? How many of you ever said that? The world's going to the dogs. I think we ought to stop saying that out of respect for the dogs. I'm serious. We know how bad the world is that we live in today. We know how people talk. We know how people act. And the word says this brute beast, it's not referring to domesticated animals. It's referring to these like a lion or a tiger or a poisonous snake. That's what it's referring to. It's not talking about this puppy that you have in your home. It's talking about these that can't be tamed. Let me give you an illustration of this, acting like wild animals. How many of you know Siegfried and Roy? Roy Horn was the guy who, you remember just a few years ago, they had this Las Vegas act. And Roy is a lion tamer. And they raised this lion. He raised this lion from a cub. From when they're so cute and you just want to bring them up and you just want to love on them. But here's the thing. These animals grow up. And a lion tamer, that word all by itself is an oxymoron. How can you tame a lion? It's a wild animal, right? And how many times have we heard over the last several years of people being mauled by bears that they've tried to tame? People being mauled by lions that they've raised from cubs and they've tried to tame. How many times have we heard that? Well, Roy understood that very well a few years ago, because he almost was killed when his lion turned and attacked him. Just a few weeks ago, actually, there was another man that was attacked by a lion. Do you remember seeing that on the news? Just a few weeks ago. I can't remember his name. But they're wild animals, and we have to understand what wild animals do. They kill, they hunt, and they do it for food. That's what they do. And so you and I, we've got to be aware of that. Peter says in verse 10, and he's talking about these who have stolen identities and claim to be Christians but really aren't. He said in verse 10, he said, they walk according to the flesh in the lusts of uncleanness. That's how they're living their lives. My mama, my step-grandmother, she used to raise rabbits. She lived in Medina, and she had rabbit pens out in the backyard and big huge garden, but she had these rabbit pens right out behind the house. And I'm going to tell you something. She told me one time, Mama, why do you have these rabbits? She said, because I like to make hot tamales. That's what Mama did. She made hot tamales with rabbit, and then she made soups with rabbit, and it was good. But one time she told me, and you just don't forget some things, she said, all they do is eat and have babies. And do you know, do you realize that that's what wild animals do? It's about the desires of the flesh rather than bringing honor and glory to God. And so you have to be able to see that picture of what a wild animal, what a brute beast really looks like. They're not genuine Christians. They're not men and women who love Christ. And they're definitely not sinless. But their greatest desire is to come in and destroy you, and to destroy your relationship with God. See, I believe that the devil works in such a way that he puts some of these wild animals in the church as a whole in order that they would destroy God's work. And so we've got to be able to recognize these and understand who they are and what they do. The next thing that I want to share with you, verses 13 and 14, is they blemish the church. Listen to what the scripture says. It says, "There's spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deception while they feast with you." They're literally coming in, these false Christians, these thieves, they're coming in and they're sitting down with us and they're having meals together with us and they're rubbing us on our shoulders and they're just kissing us on our cheeks and they're enjoying a meal together with us, and you and I can't tell sometimes whether they're real or whether they're not. You know, the great thing about the church is we want those who don't love Jesus to come in, amen? Because we want to tell them about who Jesus is, don't we? We want to explain to them about the love of God, one who sent his only begotten Son to die on an old rugged cross for your sins. He did that for me, my sins, because there was a time in my life when that's how I lived. But praise God. Listen, we can understand that these, they're spots and blemishes. They blemish the church. They're counterfeit. They come in, they sit, they eat with us. And God was appalled by the way that, or Peter was appalled rather, by the way they were living their lives. Over the years, I've performed several weddings. I was going to say that I've married several people, but you would think that I actually married several people, and I haven't. I've only married my wife, Tracy, once, and some of you will get that tomorrow. I'm going to stop telling jokes altogether. Some of you are saying, good. All right, so I have performed several wedding services, and when I preach at these weddings, the bride always looks so beautiful. Never more beautiful is a bride than she is on her wedding day. Amen? So what if, and ladies, I'm just saying as an illustration, okay? So don't get mad at me. But what if on her wedding day she had a big old blemish, just huge, right on the end of her honker, right on the end of her nose? And so what would happen is when she walked the aisle, as long as her face was veiled, you would think, you would look at her in that white gown and you would think, wow, she is so beautiful. But when she uncovered her face, all you'd be able to focus on was that blemish that was on the end of her nose. Right or wrong? That's what we would do. And so you have to understand that these people who come into the church, they try and infiltrate the church in such a way that they're that blemish. That they only come in to mess things up. They want to destroy what God thinks or deems as beautiful. And God created the church as beautiful, and you and I are the bride of Christ. We belong to Him. When we became Christians, when we, as men and women, said that we've confessed Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we literally said, I do, to Jesus Christ. And here's the great thing. At the cross, He said, I do to you. And so it's about understanding the reason that they come in. They blemish the church. And then Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27, we learn that one day the church is going to be presented as that beautiful bride. And it says, a radiant church without stain or wrinkle, without any of those blemishes. That's what you and I are. And we're holy before God. And when God sees us as children washed in the blood, He sees righteousness. He sees beauty. He sees holy sanctification. But when He looks at those who come in the church who don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, He sees a blemish. He sees a spot that needs to be removed. That's what God sees. And so understand, as we continue working through our message this morning, what that blemish might look like. This is what Zig Ziglar said about those who are hypocrites. You know, it's said that the church is full of hypocrites, right? You've heard that all of your life, haven't you? The reason I don't go to church is because the church is full of hypocrites. Well, Zig Ziglar said this. He said that you're right, but come on anyway, because there's always room for one more. Amen. Last thing that I submit to you this morning is this. The fourth point is that they are blinded by greed. Look at verse 14, if you will. It says, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, they have a heart trained in covetous practice. They have a heart trained in covetous practice, and they are accursed children. And so we're able to recognize them because, as the Scripture tells us right here, that they're only in it for what they can get out of it. That's what a false Christian is. That's what a counterfeit Christian is. Someone who claims to be someone they're not. They're in it for what they can get out of it. And so, Numbers, as you look at the Word of God right here, this is what he says. Let me get there again. I want you to read verse 15 and 16 with me. It says, "They have forsaken the right way, and they've gone astray following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wage of unrighteousness, but he was rebuked for his iniquity." He was rebuked for his sin. "A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet." And you can turn to Numbers chapter 22, and you can read the story of Balaam, but he was a prophet. In the days of old, and he was a prophet of God. God would come, God would speak a word to him, and then he would relay that word to God's people so that God would stop sinning, so that God's people would stop sinning and that they would turn back to him. And so what had happened is Balak was a king during that time who came to Balaam and he offered him a bribe. He said, "I want to give you so much money if you'll go and you'll put a curse on the children of God for me." Just go to Numbers 22 and read it. And at first said he didn't want to do it, but then he was approached again and he said, "Okay, I'll do it." He did it. He went, and on his way there, he was met by the angel of the Lord, Numbers says. The angel of the Lord is Jesus Christ in the flesh. Okay? And so he was met by the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord appeared to him, and Balaam wasn't able to see the angel of the Lord three different times, but the donkey was able to see the angel of the Lord. And so three times the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing with a sword drawn, going to attack Balaam, going to end his life. And three times the donkey tried to lead him in another direction. Balaam was beginning to get mad, and so he would beat the donkey. He would try and get him back on track. "What's going on with you? You've never acted like this ever. Why are you doing this now?" Well, he was saving his master's life, but his master was too ignorant to realize that. And then the angel of the Lord appeared through the voice of a donkey, and finally he was able to see that messenger of God. He was able to see the angel of God. And so you need to understand there are many who come over the years. We've talked last week about these false prophets, these false teachers who come claiming to be sent from God, having a word from God, but they're not proclaiming the word of God. And so there are so many over the years who have done just that. They have led people astray. They've asked for money. These televangelists, you've seen them, you've heard them. And they ask for money and money and money and more money. And if you'll send $1,000 to this ministry, then God is going to bless you sevenfold. You've seen all of those instances on television probably, or you've heard about them. Let me tell you, in the late 1800s, what Charles Spurgeon said about this. And compare Charles Spurgeon to some of these other guys. Charles Spurgeon was a British Baptist preacher who preached at a church that was about 5,000 strong in the 1800s. That's who Charles Spurgeon was. And so he was actually invited to come and preach at P.T. Barnum Balaam Circus in the big tent. And he was offered a large sum of money to come. "If you'll come do this," all P.T. Barnum wanted to do was get a crowd there. He knew that Charles Spurgeon was going to be able to get the crowd there. Okay? And so this is what he said. He sent him a letter back, telling him, a telegram back rather, and it read Acts 8:20. That's all it had on it. Acts 8:20. And this is what Acts 8:20 said. "But Peter said to him, 'Your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money.'" Wow. You've seen these these people who have healing powers. They claim to have healing powers. There's this one guy in Canada, and he would go into hotels, and people would pay large sums of money to be healed by this guy. He would put his hands on them and be healed in the name of Jesus. And he was taking all of their money, is ultimately what he was doing. There's so many instances we're able to bring up about people who have done that. But the Word of God says this: your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. And the gift of God cannot be purchased with money, friends. The gift of God is just that. It's a gift. It's free. It's by grace you've been saved through faith. And this not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, so that no man can boast. See, the blood of Jesus was for everybody. If you would confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's about what Jesus has done and not about what anyone else has done, but all about Jesus. And listen to me, you can't purchase that, no matter how big a check you write. And so two things quickly in closing, let me say this, is you and I have to understand that it's not our job to root out false teachers, that God will deal with them. God will deal with them. Understand that. Let me give you an illustration. Matthew 13 verses 28 through 30 talks about the wheat and the tare. And what had happened is they were planting their crop, they planted their wheat, but someone had gone in at night and they had planted ragweed with the wheat. And it grew together. And this is what God's word said. It says, he said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us to go and to gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them, bundle in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Did you hear what God said? He said, it's okay. Let me deal with it. That's what he said. He said, and at the end, at the judgment day, when we approach the judgment seat of Christ, those who never trusted Jesus as their Lord and Savior are going to go over here. But to those who've trusted Jesus, I'm going to say, enter in. My child, enter in, my son, enter in to the glories before you. And that's what God is going to say. So we've got to leave it to God to root them out. And then the second thing is this. We've got to make sure that when you and I look in the mirror, that there's not an identity thief looking back at us. Oh, please, Lord, don't let it be me. Amen? Don't you want to know for sure that it isn't you? And so here's what the Word of God says concerning that. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. You can examine yourself. Did you know that? And something happens. It's miraculous almost. When you examine yourself, you typically find out things maybe that you didn't know. Right? If you're sick and you're trying to figure out you're sick, then you go through the process of trying to determine what it is that's wrong with you. Maybe if you have a lump, you understand, ladies, you have to do an exam to see if you have that lump. And if you have that lump, then you go to the doctor. But you have to have a self-examination. And here's what the Word of God says concerning those who claim to be Christians. He said, examine yourself and see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Wow. Isn't that beautiful? God gives us an opportunity to look into our own hearts and see whether Jesus Christ is in us or not. So the question today is this: is Jesus Christ in you? Are you in him? And so Matthew 7, 21, 23, Jesus said, listen to me, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers, or you those who practice lawlessness. So make sure, listen to me, make sure that when you look in the mirror, that the person that is looking back at you is one who has truly trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Because you know what happens if you don't make sure of that. When the harvest comes and the wheat and the tares are separated, the tares are going to be bundled together and thrown in the fire. But the wheat is going to be stored in God's heavenly barn. And so today, let me ask you, are you one who is an identity thief? Are you a tare this morning? Are you like that unwanted weed that grows in a garden? Or are you someone who knows that you know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, Lord, today, in the mighty, magnificent name of Jesus, we come before your throne of grace and we praise you for who you are. Lord, thank you so much for your word and its power. Thank you for showing us through your word that there are those who would infiltrate the church, who would claim to be prophets of God, but they don't preach or teach your word. And Lord, that there would be those who would infiltrate the church, your church, who would claim to be Christians, who would claim to be Christ followers, but they really aren't. And Lord, they blaspheme your holy name. Lord, they blemish the church. And Lord, I just pray that there would be conviction in our hearts today if we've looked in the mirror and we haven't seen someone that loves Jesus looking back. Father, that you would speak to us even now, that we would understand the importance of living our lives wholly for you. Lord, that we wouldn't walk in the flesh as verse 10 talks about, but that we would walk in the Spirit. Father, help us as your children to live solely and completely for you. That when people see us, they see Jesus. Lord, that we would be able to lead others to salvation by living our lives in such a way that they recognize the testimony as we live. Lord, that they recognize that you are real and that you have made such a radical change in our lives. Father, I pray this morning, if there's even one person here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day of salvation. Father, move in their hearts even now, Lord. I pray for them. I lift them up, Lord. We as a church, we pray for them. And if you would speak to them today, Lord, I pray that they would confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Father, that it wouldn't be just words that come out of their mouths, Lord, but today that it would be from the heart. So that you would save those who don't know you personally. Father, we ask these things today in Jesus' name.